My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. The length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablets of your heart, so you will find favour and good success in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Honour the Lord with your wealth and with the firstfruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of his reproof. The Lord reproves him whom he loves, as a father the son in whom he delights. Blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding. For the gain from her is better than gain from silver, and her profit better than gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand, in her left hand are riches and honour. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. Those who hold her fast are called blessed. The Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding he established the heavens. By his knowledge deeps broke open, and the clouds dropped down the dew. My son, do not lose sight of these. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, and there will be life for your soul and adornment for your neck. Then you will walk on your way securely, and your foot will not stumble. If you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of the sudden terror or of the ruin of the wicked when it comes. The Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due, when it is in your power to do it. Do not say to your neighbour, go and come again tomorrow, I'll do it, when you have it with you. Do not plan evil against your neighbour, who dwells trustingly beside you. Do not contend with a man for no reason, when he has done you no harm. Do not envy a man of violence, and do not choose any of his ways. The devious person is an abomination to the Lord, but the upright are in his confidence. The Lord's curse is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the dwelling of the righteous. To all the scorners he is scornful, but to the humble he gives favour. The wise will inherit honour, but fools get disgrace.
Good afternoon. Good to see you all. Do keep your Bibles open where we've just had that read. If you've closed it already, then it's page 636, it's Proverbs 3. It'll be really useful to you. As you see, that was an epic chapter that we've just read, quite long, and we are going to be trying to make some sense of it, so it might be useful to you to look through it as we go along. Well, we're continuing our series called Wisdom for Life, and today's title is Trust in True Security. My dad is always willing to give me advice on a subject, whether he's asked for it or not. And whilst I'm sure over the years he's ingrained in me loads of helpful things that are going to help me as I go on my way through life, one of the main things that sticks with me is my dad's instruction to always look up. Now, I'd like to say that this was a super spiritual instruction. You know, my dad's sitting me down and saying, now Matthew, as you go through life, make sure you always look up at the Lord your God, which would have been good advice indeed. But what my dad actually meant is, Matthew, if you ever get lost in an airport, a train station or a bus station, then just look up. You see, the signs that point you in the right direction are always there above you. If you want to navigate your way through a public transportation system, then Matthew, just look up. That is the one gem of my 27 years of life that has stuck me from my dad's lifetime of wisdom. That is the only thing that I'll be able to pass down from my children from my dad. Let's just hope that some other pearls may have sunk in along the way. Dads, you see, don't they? They love to impart wisdom. They love to impart their knowledge about how to traverse life. On the whole, and I know there are some exceptions, fathers do just want the best for their children as they grow up and head out into the vast, wide world. They want to know that their children are going to be popular and successful, trouble-free and healthy, well-fed and watered. Ultimately, they want to know that their children are going to be safe and secure, both now and as they head out into the future. And as we come this afternoon to Proverbs 3 in our mini-series for the summer, then we see that this father writing here to his son is absolutely no different. Just look down at it at verse 1. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days, years of life and peace they will add to you. Here is a father imparting to his son and to us as we listen in his wisdom for true security. On as we'll read on, how to make the most of life, how to live long and prosper, how to be popular, successful, healthy and well fed. If you want true security in life, if you want to know how to make the most of your life, if you want to know how to be truly secure, happy and fulfilled, then listen to this father's teaching. Why listen to this father? Well, you see, this father isn't like your dad or my dad. If you weren't here a couple of weeks ago when Paul did his introduction to Proverbs, then I'd really encourage you to go back and download it from our website and read his talk. It'll help you massively on getting a handle on this book of Proverbs. You see, Paul explained that this father has been given unique insight and wisdom from God. What we read here isn't just some fatherly advice gleaned from experience. No, it's wisdom from God himself. So let's take a look and see what this father has to say about gaining true security. And the first thing is that the secret to true security is to live wisely, just as God intends. Just look down to verse 19. It says, the Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding he established the heavens. By his knowledge the deeps broke open and the clouds dropped down the dew. When God created the world, he didn't just create in a random, unthought through way. No, God created the world, these verses tell us, by wisdom. Wisdom, if you like, is the blueprint for the whole of creation. Wisdom is the underlying order of all things. We're told here that there is a set wise pattern by which God created and by which the creation works. There is an order by which we're to live, and the book of Proverbs calls it wisdom. Wisdom is the way in which we are to navigate through the complexities of life. And it's the way in which we're to get the most out of life. After all, this is what it tells us here. This is what we were created for. This is how we were created to live, by wisdom. As one of the books that I read on this passage puts it, the person who finds wisdom, the person who is in tune with God's creative purposes for the world and who lives in the light of God's ordering of the world, will truly live. If we want true security, true life, true satisfaction, then the Father here tells us to live wisely as God intends. So that begs the question, if we want true security, what does it mean to live wisely? Well, as we look back specifically to the beginning 12 verses of this chapter, then we'll see that the Father has outlined in broad brushstrokes three ways of wise living and three consequences of wise living. And the first way to live wisely is to trust in the Lord and not in yourself. Look down at verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths. This is one of those little sayings from the Bible that I'm sure lots of us will probably be quite familiar with. It's what I like to think of as prime calendar material. You can imagine reading these verses superimposed over a nice picture of the Lake District pinned to your mum's wall in the kitchen. And as you read it, you may be greatly encouraged. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, he'll make straight your paths. But often we miss what's at the heart of this little passage. Look again at that line in verse 5. Do not lean on your own understanding. And we miss it, or maybe we ignore it, because actually that's the hard bit to do, isn't it? The Father knows as he's writing this chapter that actually we all think that really we know best. But we think that we are wise. He knows that as we yearn for true security, we devise our plans in order to get it. We look out at the world and we think we understand its blueprint. We think we understand how it's designed to work. And so we set off to navigate life on our own, making plans here and there as we go. We love to lean on our own understanding. But what verse 5 tells us is that the truly wise thing to do is not to rely on ourselves. No, the truly wise thing to do is to trust in the Lord, to trust in God, to acknowledge him in our everyday life, and to look for him for our security. And I guess that makes big sense, doesn't it? If God is the creator who wants to see his creation flourish, then it makes sense that he'd know what's best for that creation. But what does trust in the Lord mean in practice? Well, first and foremost, it means listening to and acting upon God's word. It means getting to know his will for his people. It means studying hard and meditating on the Bible. It means praying hard and asking for wisdom. We have before us God's word for his world. This tells us how and why to trust in God. You see, we don't have to blindly trust God. He's made himself and his will for his world known to us. But as we prayerfully meditate on his word, as we think about what it says to us, in as verse 6 says, all our ways, in other words, in whatever situation we're in, then we have to trust that this is the right way. This is the way of wisdom, and we have to strive to faithfully practice what we learn. In everyday terms, it will mean listening to and accepting what God has to say about our relationships, our careers, our money, our social life, our health, our environment. And not just in those big life decisions, but in everything, in all your ways. It may mean rejecting what we think is the right way, what we think is wise, but what the world tells us is wise. And accepting with trust that God's way is the best way for us in any and every situation. That is what it is to trust in the Lord and not in yourself. And that is the first way to true security, through wise living. The second way of wise living is in verse 7. Look down at it. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Well, what does it mean to fear the Lord? Well, what it doesn't mean is that we're to be scared of God, as if he's in some way a fierce or far-off tyrannical dictator. Instead, it's meant more of a recognition of who God is and a reverent response. God is big. That's what we've just been singing about. He is creator. We are small. We are created. We are to acknowledge and live in the light of that truth. Paul Robinson, a couple of weeks ago in his introduction to Proverbs, defined what the fear of the Lord means. And he described it as reverent obedience to the Lord. What the Father writing this chapter means is he calls us to live wisely, is to live in reverent obedience to God. Once again, it means understanding what God expects from us, how he calls us to live. It means no longer chasing after those things that are contrary to God's plan for how we are to live. It means looking at our lives and ridding ourselves of all that we do and think and say that is contrary to God's will. That is what it means to turn away from evil. We tend to think of evil as only the worst of things. But evil here is anything that we do when we live in opposition to God's will. When it comes to our security, if we're to be truly secure, we're to once again reject our wisdom and the world's wisdom in favour of God's wisdom. Once again, the Creator knows best. It may make sense for us to be paid cash in hand, to do that insurance scam, to allow the estate agent to bend the truth about how many offers you've had on your house. It may make sense to turn a blind eye or to trample over anyone and everyone to the top of the corporate ladder. But God considers them evil and foolish. And ultimately, if we carry on living our life in opposition to God, then verse 35, right at the end, tells us the wise will inherit honour, but the fools, disgrace. Our plans, our wisdom will, it all comes crashing down. Live wisely, fear the Lord, and turn away from evil. And the final way to security through wise living is to live wisely and honour the Lord with all you have. Look down at verse 9. Honour the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. The key to properly understanding this command for wise living is that little word, honour. You see, first and foremost, this command isn't about giving away our money. It's about honouring God. Honouring God with all that we have. And we do that in two ways. Firstly, we honour with gratitude. This command calls us to recognise that everything we have, from the clothes on our back to the savings in the bank to the very air that we breathe, has been given to us by God. This is a really practical way of recognising who God is and what he's already provided for us. We are to recognise that without God then we would be nothing and we would have nothing. And as we realise that then, with willing and thankful hearts, we're called to offer the first of what he has given us back to him in order to honour him and bring him glory. And then secondly, we are to honour God through trust. If you're anything like me, then when the rubber hits the road and the time comes to honour God with what I have, then this command seems, in my wisdom, foolish. I try to convince myself that surely it makes sense that when my paycheck comes through the door, that I make sure that I have enough, and then I'll give what's left to God. Yeah, come the end of the month, whatever's left, if there's anything, well, we'll give that to God and to his work. But to give our first fruits, the first of the harvest, basically to give God that first cut of our paycheck, well, in our heads that doesn't often seem like wise planning, does it? We need to make sure we're alright and secure first, don't we, in our wisdom. But it isn't about making sure that we have enough at the end of the month. It's about very practically showing that we trust God, that actually his way is the way of wisdom, that he does know what's best for us, that he is God and can provide for our needs. As we open our paycheck and before we do anything with it, we write a check towards God's work, then it's a huge declaration of thanks and trust. This commandment is just a very practical way of outworking our first point. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. Live wisely. Honour the Lord with all you have. Well, those are the three broad brushstroke ways of wise living. Trust in the Lord, fear the Lord, honour the Lord. But I can see from your faces that some of you are thinking, how on earth does living like this bring true security? Sounds like a nice way to live, but is it really the best way as we look out into the future? Come on, Matt. Giving away the first? Trusting in God? Surely not. Well, look back at the passage. The consequences of living as God intends, the consequences of wise living. Look at verse 5 again. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, do not lean on your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your path. Or verse 7. Be not wise in your own eyes, fear the Lord, turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Or verse 9, honour the Lord with all your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce, then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats bursting with wine. If we trust, fear and honour the Lord, then this passage tells us we will be blessed. We will have, it says, a smooth path through life. When the Bible talks of flesh and bones, it means our whole being. We will be complete in health, be physically, mentally and spiritually well, and we will have plenty to eat and drink. That is the security that this passage tells us comes from wise living. But even as I'm saying this, I can see some of you twitching uncomfortably in your chairs. Come on, Matt, is what you're telling us that the secret to true security is to invest in God, to trust, to fear, to give? Matt, you're beginning to sound that little bit like a televangelist. Give the church your money and you can be guaranteed of a stress-free, healthy, prosperous life. Is that actually what you're telling us? Well, yes it is, and no it's not. Yes, because, well, in many ways that's what this passage tells us, isn't it? As the father is writing here to his son, he's giving his son instruction on wise living, on how to get the most out of life, and he tells his son, as we've seen, that the secret to true security is to live as God intends. We must live our lives under the rule of God. He is God. And as we do that, then we can't get away from the fact that this passage tells us. God's word tells us there will be rich blessing. However, the father also doesn't seem to be that naive. He knows the world that we live in. Look at verse 25. Do not be afraid of sudden terror or of the ruin of the wicked when it comes. The father here expects that everything isn't going to be hunky-dory. Ruin, he says, will come. And look at verse 11. Do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of his reproof. There will be times when we're not going to live wisely, where we will need discipline. And we know that discipline can be uncomfortable. just the mention of the foolish and the wicked throughout this passage tells us that there are plenty of others who will hurt and grieve us, as they too fail to live wisely. So how can the father, writing this to his son, on the one hand say the secret of true security, of straight paths, health and plenty, is wise living, yet on the other warn that ruin and terror will come because people don't always live wisely? Well, I think it's because the father has an eternal perspective. You see, actually, the secret to true security is trusting in God's eternal security. The secret to true security is trusting in God's eternal security. Let me explain. Just look down at verse 18. As the father concludes what is a little hymn of praise, really, to wisdom, he writes, "She," that is wisdom personified, "is a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. Those who hold her fast are called blessed." Now, the tree of life is a phrase that actually doesn't pop up very often in the Bible. In fact, that phrase, tree of life, is only found like this in three books of the Bible. In Genesis, right at the beginning of our Bibles, in Proverbs here, and in Revelation, right at the end of our Bibles. And if you flip back with me to Genesis 2 and verse 9, you'll find it on page 2 of your Bibles. It really is right at the beginning. Genesis 2 and verse 9, it says, "Out of the ground the Lord God made to spring up every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food." The tree of life was in the midst of the garden. Here we have a picture of God creating the world, and in the middle of the Garden of Eden, that perfect place that where God related perfectly to his creation, was planted the tree of life. Yet turn over a page to Genesis 3 and verse 24. Adam and Eve by now, in the series of Genesis 3, have disobeyed God. They've broken that good relationship that they had with him, and the consequence was verse 24. God drove out the man out of the and at the east of the Garden of Eden he placed a cherubim and a flaming sword that turned every way to guard the tree of life. Humanity have been banished from God's presence, from that tree of life, from eternal life, living alongside God and all the good that he offers. And that is a problem that we all still face today, as we fail to live wisely, as we fail to truly live as God intended. But back in Proverbs, the Father has given us a glimmer of hope. Wisdom is a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. Wise living, it seems, offers a way back to eternal life and back to relationship with God. The Father, you see, is talking here not only about life now, but about life into the future. He's talking about heaven, where Revelation 22, right at the end of our Bibles, tells us the tree of life is at the centre. He's looking to a time and a place where God and man will be reconciled for all eternity, where all of us will live wisely, where there will be no terror or ruin. And it's a time and place where those blessings from living a wise life, those straight paths, good health and abundant prosperity, will truly exist. The father here is telling his son, if you want true security, then you need eternal security. So live wisely. And when we begin to have an eternal perspective, it throws a little bit more light on what wise living means. Trust in the Lord. Yes, as we've already heard, trusting that he knows what's best for your everyday needs. Trusting that he does want the best for you and know the best way for you to live. But more specifically, trust him to bring you into his heaven. And we know, because we have the whole Bible, that to trust in God for eternal security is to trust in Jesus, in his life, in his death, and his resurrection. Ultimately, it means trusting in his promise of John 14, verse 6, where one of his disciples asked him the way to get to heaven, to that eternal security. And he answered him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." To trust in Jesus is to depend wholeheartedly on him reconciling us with God, earning us forgiveness through his death for those times where we have failed, but so many times to live wisely as God created and intended us to, and so gaining us access to heaven. A true security will come through trust in the Lord Jesus. Live wisely, fear the Lord, and turn away from evil. It means come under the Lord Jesus' rule. Turn from evil, from living against his will, and follow him. Live wisely, honour the Lord with all you have. As we recognise what Jesus has done in reconciling us to God, in giving us an eternal hope, an eternal security, then out of gratitude and trust, surely we must honour him with all that we have, for his glory's sake. That is the secret to true security, living wisely in the here and now as we live our everyday life, but also living wisely for the future, trusting in God's eternal security, the Lord Jesus. Because true security comes from knowing what happens after we die. True security is about having an eternal hope, a hold on that tree of life.